As Republican gubernatorial candidates prep for the primary, a lone Democrat awaits to take on the victor in the general election. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dan Ahlers is running for governor. He's the executive director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. The Del Rapids business leader has served in both the state House of Representatives and the state Senate. He stopped by SDPB's Kirby Family Studios in Sioux Falls to discuss his policy priorities.
I would say first and foremost, we need to tackle the health care crisis that we have in South Dakota. We see a lot of our nursing homes closing. We have a lot of our rural hospitals losing services. Our ability to retain doctors and other medical professionals. So we need to address that right away. Affordable housing has been something that's come up a lot in my conversations and my travels around the state. You know, in one part of that, it's young people being able to afford a house. For others, it's to be able to stay in their homes. So we've got our parents and grandparents that are struggling to stay. High property taxes, some of those things have, and the increase in utilities, inflation have all had a negative impact for two different populations. And I think that we need people that are innovative, that will sit down and start coming up with solutions and rethink how we do this. We also have a lot of programs that are available for our seniors, people with disabilities, veterans, when it comes to property taxes and sales tax rebates. I think we need to do a better job of getting that information out there. So those are two big ones. Education is always at the top of my list. I've spent a lot of time as a substitute teacher, as a volunteer in the classroom, and I see how much is expected of our education professionals, and I see the diminishing opportunities for our students. And we can do better. It just takes leadership that has the vision to get that done.
You mentioned the things that you're hearing from people as you travel the state and campaign. You campaigned across the state in 2020, which was a very different time than 2026. What else has changed in that time from the minds of voters as you've traveled the state to hear what concerns them?
I think the biggest is the affordability side of things, the cost of goods, the cost of doing business, even for our small business owners. There are a lot of increased inputs for those small business owners, for our farmers. You're hearing a lot more of that. And that, you know, with COVID, there was a lot of uncertainty. Now there's the uncertainty is about whether or not to invest or plant. And I think we just need people that are willing to work together to solve these problems, and most importantly, listen. What you see is a lot of the issues are the same. The problems continue to grow, and I think that's because we have leaders that don't listen to the people that it impacts the most. They have agendas, or they have their own ideas of what it should be, and they don't spend time figuring out what the actual problems are.
So on day one, if voters send you to Pierre and say, we want you to be our governor, is day one listening, or do you come to day one with solutions?
I think day one is a little bit of both. When you talk about retaining doctors, when you talk about property taxes, there are already mechanisms and programs out there to address those. We need to make sure that that information gets out to folks, that they have access to those resources or they know what those resources are. If there are barriers to accessing those resources, we need to make sure that we take care of that. But then I do think there's a listening component. One of the things that I learned on appropriations is people will tell you what's not working. You just have to be willing to listen and then address it. Too often, the folks that are doing those jobs every day are telling us what isn't working, but leadership at the top or the secretaries of those departments have different agendas. And so the problems still exist, or they get bigger because we didn't address them. And I think it's a little of both. But I think any kind of big changes, we need to sit down and spend a little time listening and finding out what's working and what's not.
Would it be wrong for me to make the conclusion that you're saying in some ways you're not afraid to be a little unpopular if it means you're actually solving the problem? Is that your time in the State House as a Democrat, you know, coming in the State House as a Democrat is always a hard thing to get things over the line. How does that experience serve you if you were in the executive suite?
Yeah, not worried about the popularity part of that. Going in as a Democrat in a very red district, I always knew that my time there could be very finite. But what the people of South Dakota have always done and treated me with a profound amount of grace and respect is the fact that I do spend time listening, and that they know that when I make a decision, even if they don't agree with me, that I took the time to think through it, so I was making an informed decision. So I think that in the end, when if what I do isn't really popular at first, people will get to know that my process and know that I'm working to make a better South Dakota. And even when we don't agree, they had a chance to at least express their concerns and have a voice in the process where in the past that may have not been always true.
Help me understand ways you would address affordability. What can the governor of South Dakota do to address those problems and those crunches that citizens are having now?
Well, I think with housing, there's a couple different things. Once again, I mentioned some of the programs that already exist out there for like property tax relief and even sales tax relief. There's also a governor's program, a housing program. We could be doing more with that program. We could be looking at what the barriers are there, what the requirements are. We could be making it more accessible. We could also be working with our builders and our communities to create neighborhoods of affordable housing. You know, one of the things that was very striking, I did a lot of work as a chamber administrator and then a chamber president in Del Rapids. And I worked with our city administrator very closely. He was moving to a larger community in the state and was having to buy a new house. And he was meeting with some builders. And he told me, he goes, it was an interesting conversation because before I even said anything, the guy sat down and said, if you're not building a $600,000 home, don't waste my time. So I think that I think we can be working with people who are willing to put the effort in to help build more affordable housing. I think it exists out there. I think there are entrepreneurs out there. We have people in the ag sector that are growing industrial hemp now. And I watched as this hemp processing facility, all the different products that can be used and made from it. One of them was hempcrete. And interestingly enough, they're building a hempcrete factory, but it's not in South Dakota. It's actually in Iowa. So I asked, you know, we're supposed to be an economically friendly state. Why are you building this plant in Iowa? And he goes, because they gave me a better deal. And I said, well, what was the project cost? $3 million. And some of the problems that we have is the programs we have don't work for our smaller entrepreneurs, or the requirements don't fit what they do. Here is a chance to take a South Dakota grown product, make a South Dakota product with it that could help not only in energy efficiency, but the reducing the cost of our house building and make homes more affordable. And we're not cultivating that here. I think we can make South Dakota a place where all of those can happen.
Do we need the next big industry, or do we need a boost for small businesses? Both? Help us understand how you would think about economic growth in the state.
I think there's always room for both, but I've watched our state be primarily focused on, you know, catching the big whale and bringing them into South Dakota. And when we do that, I've watched us give a lot of money away and not get a lot in return. They go, oh, we got the property taxes. That's not good enough. I need to know that these businesses are going to be good neighbors, that they're going to be good partners with the communities that they're in, with the state of South Dakota, that they're going to treat their employees well. We spent $69 million in tax incentives for one business to bring in $18 an hour jobs. That's the same that you can get paid working at McDonald's. So was that $69 million really worth the investment? When we could have built a hempcrete manufacturing plant for $3 million, we could have built 23 of those across the state, impacting more communities across the state, providing more jobs across the state, helping reduce the rural decline that we see in our population, which will also help help with the decline in services that we see, whether it be healthcare or education, whatever that might be, also in these rural areas. So I do think we need to have a greater emphasis in investing in our own people.
You mentioned healthcare, and you were on Governor Dennis Dugard's mental health task force, I think, in 2017, around that time frame. What did you learn then that you think can be applied to improving healthcare access to rural South Dakotans today?
More people to be able to do the assessments. A lot of times, the biggest problem we have is getting people in and getting them assessed in a timely manner. The longer they spend not getting assessed, the more of a problem they can be, or the easier it is for them to fall back out and be on the street or wherever they end up. Usually it's on the street, and it's just not good. Or, God forbid, in jail. We can prevent that by having a pipeline of professionals that are able to address those issues right away. And then we have to have and bolster the facilities that treat these folks too. So you have to build an entire network, and I think that we can do that.
Let's talk education. There are lots of areas we could focus on, but I'm wondering if you were selected as governor and you were leaving office 4 or 8 years later, how would you measure success in education? What would you want to see happen over the length of your time in office that you would feel good about?
I would like to see an increase in opportunities for our students. And what I mean by that is the number of classes they're able to take, to see our ranking nationally improve when it comes to our grades and our scores. I think that's an important component to it. I want to see our schools' budgets be effectively managed, and efficiency where it can be. And when I talk about opportunities for students, I want to see more for those with disabilities. I want to make sure that they're prepared, that they can have a full life when they get out of school. I know there's more that we can do there. I also want to see opportunities for gifted students. In my time in the classroom, I find quite frequently some of the more disruptive students are the bored students, and it's because they're not being challenged. And I just recall my own experience. I spent a little bit of my childhood in Wyoming where a lot of money was invested in education. We had a planetarium. Imagine the Washington Synodome attached to your junior high. Mm-hmm. That's what we had. We had access to aquatics centers that were Olympic-sized swimming pools. There were all kinds of things that we were able to do and opportunities we were able to have. I was part of a SEEK program where we did Odyssey of the Mind and some of these different things. You don't see much of that here in South Dakota. I think that we should be getting the most for all of our students, and that means having these programs and opportunities available.
Wyoming has energy money. Where does the money for that kind of investment in education come from in South Dakota?
I think that the money is there. What we have to do is we have to look for equity in our tax structures. When you look at property taxes, you find that it's based on whatever people feel the evaluation of your home is. So you can have identical homes that are $30,000 or $40,000 off in the same county, and one's paying more than the other simply because one lives in Del Rapids and the other lives in Lyons. I think we have to find a better way to tax, a fair way to tax. I think that there are industries out there that only a portion of them are being taxed and others are not. I think of our banking industry. They pay a franchise tax, yet trusts don't. They're a financial institution that harbors money. We have a lot of them in the state. I think that there should be some equity there. I think the biggest thing, though, beyond taxing, is that we have to set goals. And when you set goals, you know, what do you want education to look like? What do you want healthcare to look like? Then you can develop the plan and the pathway to get there. And sometimes those resources are already there. We're just not allocating them in the best possible way. Nobody wants to see their taxes go up. But I also think there are a fair number of people that avoid paying their taxes and should be paying, and they are not. And I think that we have to create a system that allows for fair taxation, because too often those that can afford it the least are paying the most. And I want to review all of our systems, all of our processes, and I want to make sure that people are being treated fairly and that people are paying their fair share and that we're able to create opportunity for every South Dakotan.
There are four candidates who are Republicans running for governor. There'll be a primary for them. As you watch them campaign, as you listen to them debate, what concerns you about the Republican Party platform? What inspires you? And you think, hey, there's some crossover here. We agree on this.
I think you see the crossover in the issues. And this is true, I think, for most of us. We share a lot of the same values. We all want good health care. We all want affordable housing. We want a lot of these same things. The pathways to getting there are what is really different. And for the four Republican candidates that are out there, I'm seeing more of the same. You're seeing the talk about property tax reduction, but it's with a sales tax increase, and that they'll put that money in the property tax reduction fund. We're already doing that. We've been doing that. We've had several versions of that, and I don't think people are seeing real relief. And we need to be finding ways to get real relief and to those people that need it the most, and not empty promises as before. You see the economic development, that's pretty much the same. They're looking for the big people from outside, and we're not focused on those people that are here. We got a lot of great entrepreneurs, a lot of great producers, a lot of great small business owners, and we need to be investing in them here. I went to the James Beard gathering here a couple weeks ago, where producers and restaurateurs are looking for ways to come together and to collaborate and build a stronger industry, stronger businesses for the producers, stronger businesses for those restaurateurs. And we're not investing in those folks. We should be. And I think there's a role that the state can play in helping with that collaboration, with help with the sustainability of it, and to offer investments for those businesses to try new things, to try and grow like we do when we're trying to bring these large businesses in. And we can do that for a lot less.
One more question. That's that this state has not sent a Democrat to be governor for an awfully long time, the late 1970s. Why should voters take a chance on a Democrat now?
I think you should look at what happened when they did elect a Democrat in the 1970s. You got more transparency in government. It's probably the biggest change in government transparency in the last 100 years. You can point to the South Dakota retirement system. It was created then. 105,000 South Dakotans benefit from that today. Look at the School of Medicine, the four-year school at USD. That was during a Democratic administration. And probably one of the larger and most important tax breaks that the state's ever seen was the elimination of the personal property tax, which was in 1978 under Governor Harvey Wolman at that time and a Democratic legislature. So that hasn't come back. Unlike those sales taxes that they promised to reduce, they always seem to come back and they always seem to go up. But in this case, Democrats delivered. And we've been trying the Republican way for 50 years. We haven't seen any improvement. So I think it's time to give a Democrat a chance.
That's Dan Ahlers. He is running for governor from the South Dakota Democratic Party. You can find all the SDPB gubernatorial candidate interviews on the In the Moment podcast or on the SDPB YouTube page. You can also listen to the full debate between the Republican primary candidates. It's also on the podcast. That's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.